You can't be nasty today.
Oh, God, is that today?
I reminded you last night.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Before I get to The Big Lead, feel bad for millennials. 3 out of 5 millennials, that's 60%, say life in 2019 America is more stressful than ever before. Makes me wonder if maybe they're lacking a sense of history or perspective. I'm guessing that during the Depression back in the 1930s.
Yeah, you would think.
I'm thinking life was pretty stressful then. Maybe Civil War, bloodiest war, brothers killing brothers. That was probably pretty stressful. But 3 out of 5 millennials say that everyday stressors are causing young adults to have struggles falling asleep 138 nights a year. And you're probably wondering what the big triggers of stress are in 2019. Before I get to that, half of the survey respondents say they don't feel they deal well with stress in general. Two-thirds say they need to find better and more coping methods. But here's the list of stressors in 2019. Number one, losing your wallet or credit card. Number two, arguing with partner. Number three, commute and traffic delays. Number four, losing your phone. 5, arriving late to work. 6, slow Wi-Fi. Oh, my goodness.
That sounds like a daily occurrence for just about anybody.
Well, that's why it's daily stressors for our millennials. The other stressors, phone battery dying, forgetting passwords, forgetting your phone charger, losing, misplacing keys, paying bills is a stressor. The check engine light coming on is number 16. Choosing what to wear is the number 19 stressor for millennials. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe we need a little more perspective on history. If you think life is more stressful now, because I'm stressed, but I also recognize life is easier now than it's ever been. It's a...
Maybe the word stress is just an overused word. This is just life's challenges, daily occurrences.
But it's also an example of what I've been talking about for a long, long time. Since we started, about the time millennials were babies, is when we started the trophy for everybody.
Helicopter and, parenting.
Yeah. Bubble wrap the world. Everyone's a winner. Nobody's below average. We started this whole messaging, and what's happened isn't that life has gotten more stressful. It's that we have people who can't cope with normal everyday life. And it's because of an absolute failure of the parents of my generation who I don't think we ever subscribed to this, but the parents of my generation who thought that it was important to make things as resistance-free for their kids and that life could be, you know, just a smooth sail and mommy and daddy will always make sure of it. And now you got a bunch of kids who have become young adults and they can't cope with everyday living.
How much do you think, though, the technology, I mean, so much good has come out of technology, but social media and so much of what we do today and how much we rely on technology, how much do you think that is caused stress?
Well, I know that they cite that as a very important factor, but, you know, as I've talked about before, I want to get any information on anything. I can pull out my phone and it'll tell me anything I need to know about everything. And I recognize what a miracle that is. And
it's also killing your sleep patterns, though, probably.
No, my sleep was awful when I was 16.
That's the one thing that I don't like. It's too tempting to go to bed, you know, looking at something on your screen and then wake up, first thing you do, look at the screen.
But I know that electronics are not the cause for me because seriously, when I was 15, 16, I was sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night. So I've always been like that. But yeah, and if social media is a problem, get off of social media. It's really not that tough to do. But this, you know, you walk around, you see everybody's head is buried in their phone. Nobody is just appreciating life and the world around us.
Look how beautiful it is outside, by the way.
Yeah, I bet if we went outside right now and we, if we counted the first 10 passersby, I bet 8 of them would be buried in their phone instead of looking around at this gorgeous afternoon. So anyway, people think life is more stressful than ever. It's not. We have failed by raising a generation that cannot cope with everyday life. And that's a problem with parents of my generation. We blew it. Although, again, we never subscribed to that nonsense. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
As you heard in Ursula's newscast, we're all a bit incredulous about the attempted assault charge against this guy who tried to throw a woman off an overpass in downtown Seattle earlier this month. The guy is 34 years old. Since September, he has committed 4 assaults against random people. His name is Jonathan Wilson. He's 34 years old. And he tried to throw a woman. She pushed her against a railing of an I-5 overpass on Madison Street, right in downtown. She was just on her way to work. He pushed her against the railing, and he said, "Do you want to go over the edge?" And he tried to lift her up and flip her over the railing where she, with certainty, would have died. 40-foot fall into rush hour traffic. She would have landed on or been hit by a car. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic that time of the morning. And he tried to throw her over the overpass. And our news partners at Cairo 7 TV, they talked to a woman who was walking in the same area and told her what had happened. She was horrified.
But that's terrifying to think that you're just innocently on your way to work and your life is threatened like that. I'm kind of in shock.
And if not for a good Samaritan, a man heard the woman shouting. He saw Wilson trying to lift the woman over the railing. He pulled Wilson away from the woman. Wilson shoved him and walked away. And other passersby say, if this good Samaritan hadn't stepped in, the woman almost certainly would have been killed.
Good thing he was there. I'm pretty sure he was probably scared, too, because he could have thrown both out the bridge.
Yeah, and that guy absolutely put his own life at risk by rushing in to save that woman because that woman's right. The guy could have violently thrown this guy over the overpass as well. So the big question, the 34-year-old guy, he's been arrested 3 times previously since September for random attacks on strangers. He punched a woman in the face, just picked her at random in downtown Seattle, and he had 2 other assaults. And everybody's asking the same question. Why was this guy running around free?
So they let him out because we don't have proper facilities to be able to deal with his problems, probably.
And what we're finding out from the prosecutor's office is, and you just heard it from the Cairo 7 TV reporter, that prosecutors did not pursue charges in the other 3 assaults because of the man's mental health status. And so they dismissed them. And they kept putting a crazy assaulter back on the streets. And if this isn't an indictment of our system of justice here in Seattle, and in King County, that you have somebody who punches women in the face and you say, oh, he's too crazy to prosecute, let him go. Now, this is also a failure of Jay Inslee, because our mental hospital, Western State, has deteriorated to such a horrifying degree that it lost federal funding, and we need a nut house where we can send nuts. And if a guy is out punching random women, and now in this case, trying to throw a woman over an overpass to her death, first of all, we've called the prosecutor's office. We want to find out why this is attempted assault and not attempted murder. We also want to know, how in the world can you justify putting a crazy man who's been attacking random women, putting him back on the streets? You knew what the end result was going to be, either another assault or somebody being murdered. And frankly, if I was this woman and her family, the victim in this assault, I would file a gigantic lawsuit against the prosecutor, against the state, for not dealing with crazy people who you know with certainty. If a guy's committed three other assaults since September, they knew that this was going to happen. And that's how little they cared. And they always tell us, we don't have the resources. That's a bunch of bull. We're spending $100,000 per homeless person per year. And we're throwing it away. Developers are getting rich. The people who are part of the homelessness industrial complex, they're getting rich with their $180,000 salaries, like Sharon Lee. You know, the Low Income Housing Institute and all of that. They're all getting wealthy. But then they tell us, we don't have enough to keep a crazy person locked up. So we'll just put him out there until, what, until he kills somebody? And then he'll get a public defender, not guilty by reason of insanity. And we'll let him go again. I mean, this, I'll tell you what's even more insane than a guy like that. And that's us for keeping in power the type of people we have in our justice system and running the county, running the state, running this city. This is a failure of liberalism. Because we've got one party that runs this region. And that one party has decided, through the corruption of the homelessness industrial complex, yeah, we're going to make developers rich. We're going to galvanize more power for ourselves as politicians. And if some people die along the way, well, that's just collateral damage, because we've got to get the money and the power. But nobody can tell me that we're not spending enough money. We're paying more in taxes than we have ever paid per capita, adjusted for inflation, than any time in our history. And that's not the only shocking downtown story to tell you about in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
My friend David Rose at Q13, he told me about the story that they did last night about the guitar shop, Emerald City Guitars. 23-year business down in Pioneer Square. And about a week ago, they noticed that a very expensive, they deal with very high-end vintage guitars, very expensive guitar was missing. It was on a hook in their showroom there. And they went to their surveillance video, and they saw a guy walk in with a guitar case. They didn't have anybody in the front room at the moment. And this guy quickly put a $3,500 guitar in his case and then stole it. Walked out. Probably got pennies on the dollar. Well, a couple of days ago, the same guy walked back in to Emerald City Guitars with the same empty guitar case. And the owner, Jay Boone, talked to me a couple of hours ago about what happened from there.
I confront the guy, and I just let him know, we have footage of you stealing a guitar. You need to come in here. You need to sit down. And I'm being aggressive because I'm pissed at this guy. Excuse my French.
No, of course.
And I tell him to sit down on the floor, instruct my staff members to call 911, and we're going to wait it out for the cops to come. It could be 10 minutes. It could be an hour. It could be 2 hours. So he's sitting there, and we're kind of all standing around looking at him, watching this guy. And all of a sudden, he jumps up. He pulls a gun out of his pocket of his coat, points it at us, and immediately we're all recoiling and, he's got a gun, and I'm going, don't do this, guy. Don't do this. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
He takes off running toward our front door, and I make a decision to, you know, enough's enough. I jump on his back. I tackle him out in the street. I struggle with him into the alley. He's trying to – I'm on top of him. His face is down. We're in the alley. He's trying to bring his arm around, his right arm around to shoot me. All the time I'm screaming at him, don't do this, don't do this. I have my left hand in his face. He bites my finger. I pull my hand back. He swings his arm around, fires a gun about 6 inches from my head into the wall behind the J&M Cafe, at which point I leap backwards off the guy and go running around the corner, and he darts down the alley.
And Jay told me that they've called 911 probably 100 times, and it never does any good. And that's why he just snapped. And that's why he chose to chase down and tackle a man with a gun.
I felt angry. I felt angry that my staff, who I they were like family down there, were this guy put us in danger. I felt angry that this guy saw us as an easy mark and would come in at this business that we built up and our blood, sweat, and tears. Said he'd come in and just, you know, I felt like I could take this guy down, and I felt like I could apprehend this guy until the cops came, and that was my hope. And I didn't even, honestly, if I'd have thought it through, I may not have done it.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
but I did, and I'm not regretful for it. I don't know if I'd do it again, to be honest with you, but I'm glad they got this guy. I hope they put him away. I hope justice is served. I'm a little concerned that it may not be.
No,
or everything you're telling me about this guy, and he's still walking around doing this, you know, brazenly coming in and carrying a gun. And
yeah, so this guy, he probably will do very little time. I mean, I hope armed, tried to rob the place with a gun, and they did catch him. The guy ran off. The gunman ran off, but a customer saw him under the viaduct who had witnessed the initial issue in the store, and they were able to flag down the cops, and they caught him. Now, will we do the armed crime means hard time, lock him up for years, as we should? Or are we going to do the progressive thing and just put him back out on the streets as quickly as possible? So that's Jay Boone, Emerald City Guitars in Pioneer Square. And along this line, I'm running late here, but listener Jen just sent us via email a photo that she took earlier this afternoon. She said, near the intersection of Lake City and 145th, she just saw a guy sporting a hospital bracelet, looks like a gown hanging from his backside, and he's packing a screwdriver, threatening people in the intersection. 145th in Lake City. And she sent us a picture. And you clearly see this guy holding the screwdriver in one hand, standing in the middle of this very, very busy intersection. Catch and release. That's what we're doing all around the region. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news for you and then cut down the favorite sound bites of the day with Awesome Audio coming up next.
It's almost 80.
It's wintertime.
Until tomorrow.
I like global warming.
I like warm weather.
It's one and the same. I just mowed my yard on Saturday for the first time, or Sunday. I'm going to go home. It doesn't need mowing. I'm just going to fire up the rider mower and run it out.
Just to feel like it's the middle of summer?
No. Just to heat up the planet.
Oh, God.
I'm going to contribute to global warming.
You are just such an instigator.
When I get home this afternoon, I'm going to
fire troublemaker.
I'm going to park my car in the driveway. I'm going to run it till I'm out of gas. I'm going to fire up the rider mower. I'm going to get it up to 80 degrees by tomorrow, single-handedly. Okay, it's time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
And our Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. At number three, Andrew Yang. He wants to be the next president of the United States. He's a Democrat. And he has a brilliant idea. He wants to give everybody in the country $1,000 a month. How will he pay for it? Well, he won't. Amazon and Google will.
Number three.
That would be paying every American $1,000 a month.
Yeah, it's about $1.8 trillion a year past current expenses. But the way you get there, Joe, and we all know this, how much did Amazon pay in taxes last year? Zero. And meanwhile, Amazon's sucking up $20 billion in business every year, putting 30% of American malls out of business. And so what we need to do is we need to pass a value-added tax that would get the American people a slice of every Amazon transaction, every Google search, every robot truck mile. And because our economy is now so massive at $20 trillion, a value-added tax at even half the European level generates $800 billion in new revenue.
In new revenue. That means on top of all of the other taxes you're already paying, more than ever before. But they'll just tax you more. But it'll be to give $1,000 to everybody. The hardest working person will get $1,000. The biggest deadbeat will get $1,000 a month. That's the Democrat way. Free stuff for everybody. You don't have to work for it if you're too lazy to get a job. We'll give you $1,000 a month. What a wondrous future. At number two, so Jay Inslee, he was on The Daily Show last night because you can't do a comedy show without Jay Inslee. And he was asked about the tax break that he gave Boeing.
Number two.
Why did you give them a tax break, and why do you think some companies should receive a tax break, if they should at all?
Well, they shouldn't. And the fact is, look, if you've ever been mugged, you understand what it feels like.
Yes, I have.
Okay, you have. You're not happy about that, right?
Not at all.
Well, I was not happy about the Boeing situation, because what happens, these corporations put a gun to your ribs and say, you're going to lose 20,000 jobs unless you get a tax break. That is why I'm so adamant to trying to stop that kind of behavior. We should use the tax code.
So he's going to stop the behavior by giving them the tax break. Look, he didn't want to lose the jobs because South Carolina would have given Boeing the tax break. And so, but for him to say, I did it even though I didn't want to. Look, I would love to get rid of our entire tax code. I'd love to go to a national sales tax, a fair tax. But for Jay Inslee to say he didn't want to do this for Boeing, he doesn't think he should give tax breaks to companies, but I did it. Why? Because of reality. Boeing was going to move the jobs, just as Amazon took away all those jobs from New York City when their politicians got too hostile. Yeah, it's too bad, but it's the reality. When other states will compete for your businesses, you got to find a way to be in that game. It is tough, but it is reality. At number one, this has just gone viral this afternoon. This is a wedding here in Washington, and the bride and groom are standing at the altar. The maid of honor is singing a song, not that well, and the best man, he goes down. I mean, his legs are locked. He doesn't even move a muscle. And his head hits first as he goes down. It's a crazy scene.
Number one.
I get to love you.
Seriously? Who thought this was a good idea to have the maid of honor sing?
Water, water.
What happened?
Tell you what, the way she was singing, the unconscious guy's the luckiest man at that wedding. Good, those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's sign next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. What a gorgeous afternoon, too. And get to go. Oh, yesterday I came home, and one of my favorite things about summertime is doing the show. And I know it's ridiculous that doing a radio show is so exhausting, but it is. I'm just wiped out at 3 o'clock when I get off the air. And so in the summertime, I love going home, get a little few magazines, just lay on the deck in the sun, reading. Yesterday, I brought 4 magazines out with me, thinking, delusionally, thinking that I might be able to put a dent in all these magazines that are piling up. I got an Esquire, a Men's Journal, a Forbes, a Sports Illustrated. I made it 3 pages into the first magazine, and I was out. When my wife got home, she said, "Oh, man, you were snoring." But there's just nothing better than that feeling of an afternoon nap in the sun when you know that you're starting to fade out. You just, you can't keep the eyes open. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. I'm going to try to replicate that this afternoon. We'll see how many pages I can get read today. And with all of that as mere prelude, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, Union Township, New Jersey. And I tell you, begging has turned into quite the lucrative business for an awful lot of people. Police in New Jersey are warning residents of potential scammers begging by the side of the road. They picked up a woman who was panhandling, and they have a picture of her holding her cardboard sign. It says, "I have one baby. Please, in the name of God, help me to buy baby stuff and diapers." Oh, what a sad story. The officers noticed that the woman, who claims to be from Romania, she now lives in Queens, she had, along with that cardboard heartbreaking sign that had a picture of her little baby, she had a $500 purse, various jewelry, and a brand new iPhone X that's well over $1,000. The cops said she did not appear to be in critical need of cash. And when questioned, the woman admitted to police that she and several other women were dropped off to panhandle throughout New Jersey. And then they have to split their winnings with, it's almost like a pimp. A pimp for panhandling. And the cops have warned residents, it's not a good idea to donate to someone on the side of the road with a sign. And of course it's a horrible idea. Because either you have scammers like this woman with the $500 purse and the $1,000 smartphone, or you have people who are just going to use the money for a bottle of booze or their next heroin fix. Please, in the name of all that's good, if you want to help, help out the Union Gospel Mission or Fair Start or some of those organizations where you know the money's going to go to your intended purpose. Crying out loud. Today's sign story number 2. Remember a couple of weeks ago there was a story about the guy who was lost in the mountains near Bend, Oregon, up by Sun River? He and his dog, they got stuck in the snow, and there was no way out. And they survived by eating packets of Taco Bell hot sauce. And first of all, I don't believe that story. Because if you survived 5 days with Taco Bell hot sauce, you could have survived the 5 days without it. But they made a big deal about it. Taco Bell hot sauce saves lives. And lives, because the dog, too. He shared the hot sauce with his dog. And then Taco Bell gave him free tacos for a year. Well, now, because we have to beat every story into the ground, headline, Taco Bell hot sauce saves another life. In this one, in Florida, a man was sitting down, a 77-year-old guy, was sitting down at a Taco Bell when he decided he needed more hot sauce. So he got up from his seat to go grab a couple more packets, and that's when an elderly man crashed through the front of that Taco Bell with his car, hitting the table where the hot sauce-retrieving customer had been sitting just moments before. So if he hadn't had a hankering for a little extra fire sauce, the guy would be dead right now. Or at least that's the storyline. That's the one that everybody's trying to peddle now.
Hot sauce could be what came between one Taco Bell customer and a car that drove through the building. That's according to Winter Haven police. Officers say the 77-year-old driver was parked in a spot in front of the store, the restaurant, before he drove into the building. Well, he told police he put the car into reverse, but then back into drive, and it jumped the curb into the building. You see it there. Police say a customer who was in the restaurant where the car crashed into the building had just left that area to get hot sauce. Luckily, no one was hurt.
Whoa! Hot sauce saved another life. Please. These things always happen in threes. Wonder what the next Taco Bell hot sauce life save is going to be. All right, and then finally in today's sign, this story breaks my heart. This one just breaks my heart. I'm telling you. I know a lot of people who are hunters, and I think the hunters, the ones I know at least, are generally just salt-of-the-earth people. But I will never, ever understand trophy hunters who can take down big, beautiful, majestic creatures. There is a video on social media of a trophy hunter shooting and killing a sleeping lion. It's just horrifying. They think that this happened in South Africa, but the hunter sneaked up on the sleeping lion, shot it, and then the report is that the lion is seen on the video writhing in agony until it finally died. I don't know how anybody could do that. You see something that is as gorgeous as a lion, and you gotta kill the thing. That makes no sense to me. I don't know how the brains of these big game trophy hunters work. So now, the guy's still somewhat anonymous, but they're trying to figure out who he is because there are so many people who are outraged. They want to dox him. They want to make his life miserable. What he did isn't illegal. But my goodness, it's unthinkable to me how someone could do that. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. Hate to end on such a horrible note, but end I must because I've said everything I have to say for today. But I will think up a bunch of new stuff as I'm dozing off this afternoon for tomorrow's Wednesday extravaganza. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North will join us tomorrow afternoon on The Big Show. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, high noon. Hey,